Well, if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn with me to Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. We come to the final sermon in this series for now, as we wrap up this great prophet that we've been journeying through together. Jonah chapter 4, our text this afternoon will be verses 5 through 11, but I will go ahead and read the entire chapter for context. Before we hear the preaching of God's word, let's go before him once again in prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would give us your spirit now, that you would teach us deep truths in your word as we consider them from the book of Jonah. We pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds and our understanding, that you would show us your great and marvelous work, your mercy and your grace, that you would show us Christ. And Lord, we pray now that you would be with us as we consider this wonderful passage. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Jonah chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And I should not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock." Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. May he bless the reading of it to us. My friends, we should desire to be, as well as understand, that God has made us to be lifelong learners. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus guides and directs us every day, teaching and instructing us so that we truly learn and grow in the deep truths of God. Being the master teacher, he teaches not once, not twice, but often many, many times on a matter. There are things that we get, and like Jonah, there are things that we think we know, but really don't understand much of, if at all. There are many lessons yet to be learned. There is much knowledge of the Lord, his ways, and his word yet to be grasped. In fact, Jonah really wrestled to understand much. He wrestled in his lack of understanding the salvation that God brought to Nineveh. And last week, we considered his outrage. Basically, he said, "How dare you violate my expectations, Lord? I knew this would happen. I knew this is how you are. This wasn't how it was supposed to work out." Jonah was so angry that he asked God to kill him. And indeed, God could have granted Jonah's request to die right then and there and would have been just in killing him, for Jonah's sin in his anger toward God was great. However, take note of God's multi-layered mercy and compassion that he extended to Jonah. The master teacher again takes this opportunity to stop Jonah in his tracks and teach him an object lesson, a great and unique way to end this book. And to do so, God engaged Jonah in a dialogue. In verse 4, God reproved Jonah with a question: "Is it right for you to be angry?" As it's evident that Jonah wrongly interpreted God's providence and salvation of the people of Nineveh, we now see that God taught Jonah about his providence, this time rightly interpreted by God himself. And so in verse 5, we see Jonah's response to God's question. "And so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. And there he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city." So here at this point, Jonah doesn't answer God verbally, notice. However, his actions speak loudly. His answer was clearly communicated by his walking away, going out of the city, waiting to see what God would do. In other words, Jonah continued in his displeasure. He went out of the city and sat on the east side of it, the text says. And Jonah obviously understood that upon the repentance of the Ninevites, God relented and would refrain from executing the promised judgment. Yet it appears that Jonah's exit happened as he was angrily hanging on to the hope that destruction would still come. He left the city to wait for its destruction rather than continuing to minister to the word to those who warmly received the word of God through his preaching. And so he left and he built a shelter in the heat of the sun, and he sat under it in a shadow that it provided to wait and to watch. Jonah clearly dealt poorly with failed expectations. Jonah could have fled from the temptations in his mind to sin against God and feed the roots of bitterness in his heart that blossomed in anger. Yet he stoked the fire. When God asked him the gracious question of, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had an opportunity to repent and to humble himself right then and there before the Lord and say, "No, it's not right. Please forgive me." Yet he chose to walk away, a pattern that is evident and developing in this book. God called Jonah to preach against Nineveh, and Jonah didn't like it, so he fled. God saved the Ninevites. Jonah didn't like it, so he walked and left the city. Brothers and sisters, how do you respond when you don't get your way? This may sound like more of a question for the children, but it's really for all of us. Specifically, what's your response to God when he's pleased to do something that doesn't meet your expectations or desires? Even more specific, are you prepared to head off anger or bitterness at the past, cutting the root, and deal with it rightly when it arises? Or like Jonah, are you apt to walk as if you are justified in being angry with God? There are many times that we, like Jonah, need to learn more from and be reminded of the lessons that our Lord provides. And in verses 6 and 7, that's exactly what we see God doing with Jonah. He provides a wonderful object lesson to teach him. Verse 6, "And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head and to deliver him from his misery." So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. The master teacher provided an object lesson for Jonah, and this was a lesson where learning didn't merely take place through the imparting of knowledge from the teacher to the student, but it was also by physical experience. Here again, we see the work of preparation by God. If you recall, this isn't the first time that we've seen the Lord act in such a way. In chapter 1, verse 17, we saw God's preparation of the great fish to swallow Jonah. That fish that was specifically prepared, appointed, designed for that specific task. And here, God continues in his grace, and we again find God's preparation of something special that, note, delivers Jonah from something. Delivers Jonah from his misery, the text says, and that specifically being the plant. The fish delivered Jonah from death at sea, but the plant delivers Jonah from his misery, from the sweltering heat of the sun. And what was this plant? Some have said that it was a gourd. And if you don't know what a gourd is, it's a plant that produces a squash-like fruit. Others have said that it was an ivy or a shrub. And still others believe that this was likely some type of castor oil plant. And though we cannot be certain, it was a broad-leafed plant that would be sufficient to provide shade. And further, we are told in verse 10 that it came up in a night. Now, there are plants that can grow pretty fast, pretty rapid. But growing up in a night to provide shade for Jonah, that was definitely evidence of the supernatural work of God as he prepared this plant for Jonah. Such grace for such a rebel. It's interesting that the Lord raised up this plant. Jonah, by the sweat of his brow, had already built a shelter for himself, and he was sitting under it. Yet anger was met with mercy and compassion. God provided this plant as a special provision and protection for Jonah's physical misery and the heat. And then notice Jonah's response. Jonah was very grateful for the plant, the text says. Jonah could have said, "Thanks, but no thanks. I'm mad at you. The shelter I built is just fine." However, he literally rejoiced with great joy. He rejoiced with great joy. Jonah was in many ways thankful for the great fish, but here he is grateful for the plant. But God not only prepared a plant for Jonah, he also prepared a worm. And he appointed this worm to gnaw and to damage the plant so that it withered. God appointed the plant one day that it would ease Jonah's suffering, and the next day he removed it, and that suffering returned. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That should have been Jonah's response. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But yet, Jonah had more to learn. And then we see that God not only prepared the plant and the worm, but we find in verse 8 that God also prepared a vehement east wind. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And so the wind came. The heat was pressing hard. His shelter didn't hold up and likely blew away. This wind was a dry, scorching, blasting wind, and the sun beat upon him. Jonah was exposed to the elements, and the sun beating down on him wore him out. Things got tough. And instead of Jonah crying out to God for help in his distress, he became all the more bitter. First, the Ninevites, and now the plant. Jonah's distress continued to the point that he wished he would die, and Jonah became a complainer. God's grace was present one day through the plant, and then removed the next to teach Jonah a lesson, and yet Jonah continued in his anger. But God in his grace comes again to Jonah. And he continues to pursue him by asking another question. Very similar to the one he had asked before, but now with a more specific angle to it. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? You know, this is very similar to what God asked Cain, because Cain was grieved because he was unwilling to worship God the way God had directed him to, but his brother, who did, had been blessed by God. And so God asked Cain in Genesis 4, "Why is your countenance fallen?" He graciously reproved him that he might see the errors of his ways, and yet Cain went on in his rebellion. And Jonah's response was, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." Can you imagine the brashness of this? Jonah is willing to justify his anger even to God Almighty. He wasn't trying to justify his anger to another human. I'm sure we can all admit that we've tried to do that a time or two, or three or four. Our attempt to justify unrighteous anger, maybe to our children, to our husbands, our wives, our parents, our friends. Here, Jonah in his pride was willing to go against the verdict of God. How often do we find ourselves just like Jonah as we try to justify our displeasure with his providence? So God, as he had led Jonah with many questions, now reveals the point of what Jonah needed to understand in verses 10 and 11. And notice, to do so, to make this point, God makes a contrast between Jonah's pity on the plant versus God's great pity and compassion for the people and even the livestock in Nineveh. Verse 10 and 11, "But the Lord said, 'You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?'" The issue here is similar to the issue that Paul addressed to the church in Rome, as we see in Romans 9, 14 and 15, a very familiar passage, but hear it afresh even now. "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. Meganoita, may it never be. For he says to Moses, 'I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion.' It is all of the Lord. His will be done. It is his sovereign choice. Jonah didn't have a leg to stand on. And so the question here is really, Jonah, do you now see the pettiness of your concern? Do you see the fault and the error and the sin in your outrage? Jonah took pity on a plant that he did nothing to affect. He didn't plant it in the ground. He didn't water it or tend it. Jonah had no investment in this plant. He didn't make it grow. All he did was take benefit of the Lord's giving it to him as a gift of grace. God did it all. And then God made the contrast. Should I not pity Nineveh? Did God not have the right to pity the people? He chose them. He created them. He sustained them. He labored for them. He grew them. He saved them. There were potentially over 1 million people in that city, in which are more than 120,000 persons that cannot discern their right hand from their left. They were the work of God's hand. My friends, we see that it's easy for men to be petty and selfish. Yet God is the gracious master teacher. He often removes the veil of selfishness from such men and women. And Jonah tried to hide what was really going on in his heart. However, God removed that veil. He was exposed. It was clear and evident what the true depths of his heart and his desires and his failures and his weaknesses and his emotions truly were. All it took was a plant, a worm, and an east wind, and Jonah was undone. We all can be a little like Jonah, sometimes a lot like Jonah. God, in his mercy, sometimes brings similar lessons about in our own lives so that we would learn to be humble and contrite when we have come unglued, when we are undone. I encourage you to examine your heart this day and consider the lessons that the Lord is working on in you. And then pray that he would help you to learn well and to grow through those lessons, and particularly to grow in your relationship with him, to have a humble and a contrite heart before the Lord, indeed to see God for who he really is, to understand who you are in light of the holy God, but as a child of God, in the family of God, redeemed by the Son of God, the Lamb, who loves you with an everlasting love, who is there for you in your darkest hours, who is there leading you in the ways everlasting. Jonah was angry with providence and God's providence, but he was taught through that providence and the Word of God. He was angry with God's mercies toward Nineveh. He was angry with God for removing the plant. But remember, sometimes God uses that which we are angry with as the instrument to show us how foolish and sinful we are, as well as how abundantly loving and merciful God is as he pursues us in the midst of our sin. You know, in this book, as we consider some of the lessons we've learned as we've worked through it together, we've seen and have been blessed by many wonderful truths. We've learned much about the sovereignty of God. We've learned much about an important missionary journey of a called prophet of God to go and to preach to wicked sinners. And we've learned about God's work in and through the preaching of the word and the salvation that he brings to his people. We've learned much about Jonah's rebellion and God's pursuit of rebels, as well as his grace, as well as his mercy and deliverance. We've learned much about God's school of grace. Jonah was a sinner saved by grace, just like we are. He was one full of contradictions, full of distractions, full of wrestling in his flesh, and also one who was blessed with the pursuit of God's abundant grace and mercy. Jonah was one who was stubborn and foolish at times, but he was also one who was loved and taught by God. And most importantly, I pray that as we've gone through this book, you've seen and have learned more about Jesus in Jonah. For he is the one Jonah points us to. Jonah is a type of Christ as he points us to Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to deliver. And he did just that. Even as the fish was a shadow of deliverance, even as the plant was the same, Jesus is the true, real Redeemer and Deliverer of his people. He is the one who indeed has saved us from the pits of hell and has made us his own. Do we see the lesson of the great compassion of God in his salvation? Where are the Ninevites of our day? They're all around us in many places, many nations. May we not be distracted and consumed by the petty concerns of our flesh that would seek to hinder us from joyfully pursuing the lost and rejoicing, even with the angels in heaven, when one repents and they are saved. May we pursue them with vigor as we gladly tell them of the hope that we have within us, even sharing the wonderful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God give us grace to do so. Amen. Let us pray.